We are joined by Doc Martin with the New Orleans Hornets on this NBA draft day.
Hey, how you
Doc,
guys doing?
Doc, welcome. Great,
Thank
how you are you?
What's up, Doc?
Pretty good, pretty good. Can't complain.
What's up, Doc?
You see?
Yeah, I like that.
You
I like
just can't get away from it, man.
I know.
I don't even mean to do it anymore.
How often do you get that in a given month?
Goodness, I've lost count so many times, man. It's just something kind of easily just rolls off the tongues of people.
It does. I mean, that Bugs Bunny was a genius.
Or I'll get the one about, you know, hey, my name is Doc Martin. Like the shoes? I'm just like, trust me, I'm not receiving any of the proceeds.
I was going to say, if you were like Doc Martin, like the shoes, you'd be retired by now for sure.
Oh, no question.
So, well, so Pat was just telling me you recently, I guess, joined on with New Orleans. Talk about that transition. I guess you were in Portland before, right?
Yes, I spent 3 years with the Portland Trailblazers, and then once the Dell Demps had got the GM job in New Orleans, and by rule you have to kind of call NBA teams to get permission to speak to people on their staff if they're under contract, and so Dell and I go way back to our days in the D-League, and oddly enough, you know, once he got the job, I sent him a text to congratulate him, and then he next time I saw him, he was like, hey, I need to talk to you, and so to my surprise, he had already called Portland to get permission to speak to me and wanted to bring me on board as a scout. And this is actually my second year with the team.
So we talked earlier, well, through text, and not really a lot of probably discussion going on with who the Hornets are going to take with the first pick in tonight's draft.
Yeah, by the NBA gag order that's placed on us, we're not allowed to say who we're going to take. But in the words of Dell Demps, he said there won't be any surprises once we start.
Have you got a chance to watch some workouts with Anthony Davis?
I haven't, actually. I've just been able to see the kid through video and through games, but I haven't seen any workouts. I heard that he hadn't been conducting any workouts at all because the kid kind of knows where he's going,
right.
or he's hoping where he's going to go with the first pick. So,
other than his length, what types of things do you see in him? Or maybe you don't see, or what is it? Do you think he's going to project to be a guy, you know, they say Kevin Garnett type guy? Do you think he has those intangibles that would allow him to have that kind of a career?
I think the skill set is definitely there. I think it just depends upon how hard he's kind of willing to work and kind of bring that competitive spirit. Because the biggest thing about Kevin Garnett is his competitive spirit. Yeah. And when he brings that intensity to the game, everything kind of falls in line with his ability to shoot the ball, be able to make plays from the high post area. But I think the intangibles are definitely there. And the biggest thing about Anthony Davis, you know, that we on the outside don't get the chance to see, that the kid is a very good kid and very coachable. You know, Monty's great with players. And if we have the chance to take him, or, you know, if that's the overall decision, I think he's going to fit in well with the young team that the youth movement that we're kind of moving towards.
How many college games do you get to each year?
Oh, my goodness. The number varies. Oh, my goodness. We'll start planning out our schedule in October, and then we'll revisit things in January. So it can be just a plethora of games that I'll get the chance to see. And, you know, when I'm not on the road, I'm watching games either on TV or through video. So there's a lot of stuff that kind of goes on. There's never really an off day with us. You know, if you're not on the road, then you're probably at home watching the game on TV or something that you've recorded. And just it's definitely
Do you have a region or a conference that you're assigned to?
Well, this past year I covered a lot of the SEC, ACC, and Conference USA, just being able to drive over to Birmingham and check out games over at UAB. Those have been kind of the three major conferences that I've been able to cover, you know, and watch live games this year, but I've watched a lot of the other conference via video or on TV.
Now, were you able to go up to Fayetteville for a couple of games?
I was not able to.
Okay. I don't know. Can you even talk about what college guys that you are interested in, but who maybe that you've talked about that they want you to go and scout? Can you talk about certain names?
For next year's draft or for this year's draft?
For next year's draft.
I'm not quite sure. I don't think I'm at liberty
to speak about. I don't want to get you in trouble. I wanted to ask about B.J. Young and Marshawn Powell, but
ask me about them. They're super awesome.
Okay, you should draft them, Doc. How about that?
There you go.
But don't draft. Tell Marshawn he needs one more year, okay, if you could do me that
there
favor.
You go. Yeah, we'd like to keep him as long as we can. Doc Martin joining us in the Zone on the Revolution Hotline. He's with the New Orleans Hornets, and a busy day for you guys. And you mentioned the SEC, Doc, and we were looking at it. Just one of the mock drafts we were looking through, I think, let's see, seven SEC guys expected maybe to go in the first round here. Can you talk about the league, and certainly Kentucky is a large part of that, but, you know, what you saw out of the league and what kinds of things you liked that you saw out of the league this year?
I think with kind of, you know, the roster that Kentucky had, it definitely raises the level of competitiveness across the league, because every time Kentucky stepped on the floor, they were going to receive, at least within the first 5 to 10 minutes, that team's best shot at trying to beat them. But they just have such an overwhelming, immense amount of talent on that team. And being coached by Calipari, it was a big mountain for a lot of teams to climb throughout the course of the year. But I think overall across the board, there were some really, really good teams. But then there's some teams that still kind of have some catching up to do. You know, the likes of Auburn. I think Auburn will be good in the next few years. You know, South Carolina with the hiring of Frank Martin, man, that I'm actually scared to see what South Carolina is going to be in a couple of years once Frank is able to kind of get his players in there, the ones that he's accustomed to coaching, that he coached at Kansas State. I think Alabama has a chance to be good. You know, Anthony Grant has definitely been, you know, a very positive male role model for those players kind of going forward. I love Coach Godfrey, don't get me wrong, but I wish Anthony Grant was there when I was there.
Did he recruit you, Coach Godfrey? He recruited you, right?
He did. He did. The funny thing about it, though, he recruited me to come to Murray State when he was there, and I turned him down and ended up going to Bama. And then my sophomore year, here comes Coach Godfrey. So
that's funny.
Yeah, it was a very funny story. But I think across the board, the SEC has a chance to be really, really good with the new additions of Missouri and Texas A&M. So. You know, and I think in the years past, you know, some of the power conferences have been the Big East, some of the ACC, but I think the SEC is right there knocking at the door and is going to be one of the premier conferences going forward in terms of basketball-wise.
Doc Martin, New Orleans Hornets scout, joining us in the zone. You have three picks in this year's NBA draft.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the first pick, and you can't say it, but I'm going to say it's Anthony Davis, and you have the 10th pick. Now, when you guys look at the draft board that you have in your war room or wherever you do it, do you have a good sense, you know, how 2 through 9 are going to go, the number 2 through 9 pick, so that your 10th pick, you're pretty sure who you're going to take? Or this year, this particular year, do you think there's going to be a lot of question marks of what's going to happen that's going to adjust how you guys approach that 10th pick?
I think what we do is we come with several different scenarios. We don't really know. We can sit and try to predict how other teams are going to draft based upon moves they're making before, you know, draft day gets there. But everybody kind of comes up with their own philosophy as to what we're going to do when we're going forward. And they'll have target guys that they're looking at a certain pick. And then all of a sudden when your target guys are off the board, then you change your philosophy to taking the best player available. Mm. And I think that's something that we're doing as well. So we have a list of guys that we like at that pick. And we have to kind of figure out, you know, are we going to try to address a positional need or take the best player available? So it's constantly changing with every pick as it comes down to your time to select whoever is at the 10th pick. So you can go into it with one philosophy and then everything just quickly changes because all of a sudden somebody that was going to be there that you thought was going to be there isn't there anymore. And all of a sudden then a player you might have had going, you know, fifth or sixth, all of a sudden slips to you, then like everybody's kind of like there's an excitement that's there. You know, being inside the draft room on draft day, you know, I've had the chance of meet several NBA, you know, Hall of Famers, but there is nothing like being inside that war room on draft day and just to kind of feel the excitement, the deals that are being made at the last minute. It's definitely a rush. It's definitely
more,
a rush.
More of a rush than in a D-League war room? For the Rim Rockers, you think? So? I'm just kidding.
It's a tough pick when Pat Bradley's sitting right there on the board, man.
How much difference is it evaluating a player on tape as it is in person?
I think for me, I think every scout is different, but for me, it's a big difference. It's one thing you're able to see what the player can do on the floor just watching him through video, but then a lot of times, you know, these teams that are so concerned with culture, how a player would fit in with the current roster that they have. You want to see how he interacts with his teammates when the opposing team goes on a run. You know, is he the kind of kid that's going to point fingers at others and be like, you know, hey, it's your fault that this is happening in the game right now. So you want to see him interact with the coaches and his teammates during the course of a game. So I think for me, it's best that I see him live a couple times. I can watch him on video if need be, but it's best if I see him live and kind of see how he interacts. you know, with those around him. And there are things that are being shown during, you know, when you're watching him on TV, there are things that are being shown or happening during a timeout that you don't see if you were actually there. And so I think it's important that you do a combination of both, but majority of it, you know, it lies heavily in viewing the kid live.
Doc, one thing I can see on paper here is there are a lot of tall guys in this draft. And when you're 5'8", everybody's tall. But it would seem, and I don't know if this is out of the ordinary now, but you got, I counted, again, just going off the projected mock draft, I saw one of those. 5'6", 11 guys, 3 7-footers, and a couple of 6'10 guys, including Anthony Davis, potentially going in the first round. Is this a bigger draft than usual, or is that about typical as far as the number of big men available early on?
I think it's a bigger draft. You know, the thing about with the NBA, like, bigs are so hard to come by. Bigs and those true point guards are hard to come by. And so if you're able to kind of, you know, go and get a big and hopefully develop him for the future, then great. And if you're able to get a point guard with some size, say like a Kendall Marshall or, you know, and go guys that have a certain gear. The NBA is a bit of a copycat league. And when someone has something that's working for them, some other teams may try to emulate that some way, like, okay, you know, this team has a guard with a certain gear. Who in the draft has that or could potentially have that and be that guy, that kind of guy for us to help us have the success someone else may be having. So, in my opinion, I think it's a bigger draft than normal, but, you know, bigs are a rare commodity. If you can walk and chew gum and you're at least 6'10", 6'10 and up, you may get a hard look from an NBA team just simply because you are big.
Again, Doc, I got to say, you got to go with the shooters, man. That's what wins the championships, Doc, shooters.
It sucks for me because I can't walk and chew gum and I'm 5'8", so... What about shooters, go ahead, Doc, sorry.
Shooters definitely help, particularly if you have bigs that command a lot of presence on the inside and you put those shooters around him. You know, one of the philosophies we had in Portland when drafting Greg Oden and having LaMarcus Aldridge that you can never have too many shooters. So when you've got guys that can really space and stretch the floor, it won't allow teams to double-team that much. You know, look at what Mike Miller and, you know, how Steve Novak, who's kind of been a bit of a journeyman, and all of a sudden now he lands a spot in New York to where you've got Carmelo playing some four, and you've got Amari down there and Tyson Chandler, but you've got a guy like Novak that you can't help off of. So it makes the big's job a little bit easier in terms of being able to score one-on-one down there.
Doc Martin, New Orleans Hornets scout, joining us in the Zone on the Revolution Hotline. Doc, Pat pointed out, too, before we had you on, that not as many foreigners, it would seem, towards the top end of this draft as we've seen in some past years. I guess you just go back a year ago, Pat was pointing out that, 11 guys?
11 in 2011 got drafted, actually. Drafted.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so
definitely.
Is it good for America, or is it bad for Europe? What's the deal?
Very good for American players to see that, you know, because a lot of teams sometimes will draft a European player that's a bit of a project, but they'll use him as a stash guy. And the stash guy is one of those guys that kind of stay overseas for, you know, 1 to 2 years to kind of get a little bit more seasoning, like when Oklahoma City drafted Ibaka. You know, he stayed overseas and played, I think, a year or two in Spain. Got some more season, and all of a sudden now he's in the starting rotation with the team that went to the finals. So, but it's definitely a good sign for American players. And the Euros, I haven't really seen a whole lot of them just in terms of evaluating them. So I don't know where they're at in terms of, you know, talent wise right now. They always kind of have this deal where they, you know, the talent kind of catches up with the height, and all of a sudden, you know, you got a lot of Euros that are hot on a lot of NBA radar. So maybe it's kind of a cycle right now. You know, in the past few years, Euros have been hot on the NBA radar. This year, there's not as much talent that's there, so maybe a bit of a downtrend right now, but then who knows, next year or the year after that, you know, guys can start popping up that, you know, that were on the radar but were projected to be, you know, very, very late second-round picks and decide to keep their name out of the draft. So
we got a chance to talk with Dave Yeager yesterday from the Grizzlies and his perspective and how he approaches the draft, and obviously being on the bench, he's involved, but you know, he talked about the relationships with his general manager and the scouts. How do you deal with Monty Williams, the head coach for the Hornets, and the other coaches in terms of draft situations? You know, do they come to you and say, hey, this is what we need, or do you go to them and say, what are we looking for to try to accomplish this thing? What's that relationship like?
Well, Monty and I were together in Portland, so I haven't had that much conversation with him this year, but when I was there, And Portland, you know, we would all be in the same room with the owner, Paul Allen, the GM at the time, Kevin Pritchard, and Nate McMillan, and those guys. And so we're sitting there, we're watching film on guys that we just try to kind of update them as best as we could. Like, this is what we've seen over the past year. And these are guys that we think that could fit into, you know, what your coaching style and philosophy may be going forward. These are guys that we've targeted, and we kind of just try to update those guys into what we've seen over the course of the year, because they're so busy with their NBA season, I don't think they're watching much of the collegiate
right.
game. And so I think the best thing you can do is have a great rapport with the GM, the owner, and the coach, so therefore everybody's on the same page. And it's just about trusting, you know, the scouts and the work that they've done over the course of the year. And we were fortunate to have, you know, have Kevin Pritchard and Nate McMillan, Paul Allen, those guys had a pretty good relationship just in working together to be on the same page. And those guys trust what we did. And there were times that Nate would pull me to a side and, you know, there might be an overall opinion about a certain guy, but he would pull me to the side, hey, what did you think about this kid? And I would give him my thoughts. And so not saying that we went out and drafted a guy that I told Nate that I really, really liked, but right. more or less he wanted to know what my opinion was of the guy.
Tuck, you have left one of the coolest towns in the country, in Portland, and now you're in one of the best towns to eat. Maybe just because it's lunchtime, I'm thinking about it. What's your favorite joints to hit up in New Orleans when you're down there to eat?
Well, oddly enough, in working with Portland, I was always based in Atlanta as their East Coast scout, and it's kind of been the same deal with New Orleans, working in Atlanta as their East Coast scout. But I will actually be moving to New Orleans in September in a different position, so I'm still kind of open as to what kind of food I'm going to experience down there. So,
have you spent much time there?
I've only gone down there for meetings, and like I've been down there for, I say, 3 or 4 days tops at a time, because I'll be down there in conjunction with meetings and watching us play games, stuff like that, but I really haven't really been able to kind of see the city.
Get the oysters, Doc. Get the oysters.
Ah.
Grilled oysters at Drago's. Just a little tip. Don't worry. I'll send you the information.
I'm actually allergic to seafood, so I don't know if
Doc.
Oh, my God.
What is wrong,
That's
man?
That's horrendous.
That's like the worst thing that could happen to anyone moving to New Orleans.
That's a bad deal. That's like, yeah, that's...
Well, what else do they cook down there?
I have no earthly idea, but I'm sure I will find
Italian
out.
Italian food.
Cajun steak?
That's a good Italian food.
Doc, how's the personal life doing, my man? You married? You got kids?
No, man, not married. No kids yet.
Life. What a life. Doc Martin. Living it up, my man.
No, not yet, man. But maybe within a couple years, I definitely see myself as being a married man. I am dating a young lady now who actually plays in the WNBA, so she's trying to finish out.
Yeah, I love this. You got to give us a name. Come on.
Tammy Sutton Brown. She's the center for the Indiana Fever.
Tammy Sutton Brown?
Yeah.
Doc, Pat's not going to settle down until he finds a lady who is a great athlete, so if she has any friends who are available and or desperate, Pat would like to find himself someone to procreate with eventually that can help develop him an NBA first-rounder so he can retire.
Doc, think about that, Doc. I'll teach a kid how to shoot. She just has to handle everything else.
I can do the defensive part because I don't recall you being too much of a great defender at Arkansas.
Oh.
So.
No, listen, that's why we ran all those amoeba defense traps, presses. I could get lost in the defense.
That would not for you. You know, it wasn't that he didn't work hard, though, Doc, and that's all he could do.
I'll be sure to send it to the Pat Bradley shooting camp, though.
That's right. There you go. See, we're going to need to build something up here, Doc. We should move that down to New Orleans next year.
Yeah, we're talking about making an NBA tour, so we may be hitting you up for trying to get a couple of tickets down the road here once the season rolls around again. So.
Well, definitely hit me up. Pat Bradley has the number, so.
Doc, thanks so much
Appreciate
for coming on.
Doc.
Good luck tonight. I hope everything goes the way you guys are hoping.
Thanks, guys.